What is going on, my friends? It's the Three in the Key podcast. We're back several pounds heavier after Thanksgiving. And we're excited to get back in the swing of things. What's up, MD? How you doing, man?
Good, man. Trying to breathe after getting so much weight from these last 4 days. It's been tough. The wife has been on me about like, oh, how much? I know you gained some weight. How much? I haven't told her yet. You know, trying to stave it off. Trying to playing basketball tonight to hopefully shed a few pounds, lose some water weight. You know, make myself feel better at least.
Yes.
About all that eating these last 4 days. I mean, I'm still eating.
Me too.
All the leftovers from Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's been crazy.
For me, the hardest part has been the remnant desserts. Like, there's just like these tubs of cookies, or there's cookie dough in the house, and we're making it and eating it. And I am a sucker for chocolate chip cookies. I can't eat any less than four. Like, it's four or more. Usually, like, six is, like, my sweet spot where I feel content. But anything less than that, I kind of feel like I didn't get enough.
Nice.
And as a result, I'm just eating so many cookies right now. I need to stop. It's a problem.
So every time you eat cookies, which is, I'm saying, is, like, once a day now, probably.
For the past few days, yeah.
Is four cookies
yeah.
at a time. So you've been eating four cookies for the last almost week.
Practically. Wow. That's, like, 28 cookies. If I'm doing the math right.
That's if you're averaging four. I don't think you eat four every time, let's be real.
No, but there have been days where I've eaten over four, like eight.
Right.
And that, you know, kind of cancels out the day where I didn't eat any. It averages out to like four a day. It's bad.
That's
it's
a
bad.
Lot of cookies.
Yeah. Hey, you tried eggnog.
Yes, I did. You were there.
I was.
So we spent Thanksgiving Eve together. Ryan helped us make some banana cream pie at my place since I was at my parents. My wife and I were at my parents in Corona, and we had a good time. We ate pho. We ate a lot of good food.
Super good.
We had lactaid eggnog, which for those of you is lactose-free eggnog, which is a hit, by the way. Everyone loved it.
So
wife
good.
Loved it. Ryan loved it. My dad and my family who are lactose intolerant loved it. We had to go buy two more tubs, remember, while we were out after dinner?
I do.
It was great.
Did you love it, though?
I thought it was really good. I added a little whiskey to it to make it a true eggnog, you know?
Wow.
Because eggnog is traditionally alcoholic, actually.
Traditionally.
So I added just a splash to see, and it actually tastes better without the alcohol.
I agree. I 100% agree. I'm kind of sad you didn't drink it in its purest of forms.
I did. I did drink it in its purest form after you left.
Good.
And it was amazing.
Yeah, right?
It was so good.
People are divided on this, by the way.
Everyone was saying, though, it tastes a lot better than the normal eggnog.
Okay.
Since it was, like, lactose-free, it tastes different and tastes a lot better.
Okay. I can kind of speak to that because I've had both.
Right.
The thickness of the lactose-free version is less, so it's not as thick. If you drink the regular OG eggnog, it's very thick and it's heavy.
A lot of jokes in there.
Yeah, but I like it like that. So I actually prefer the original chunky eggnog.
Thick, viscous eggnog.
Thick with two C's.
Yeah.
I like to feel like I need to take a nap after I drink a glass of eggnog.
Really?
Because it's kind of like when you eat too much turkey on Thanksgiving. You don't go into Thanksgiving thinking, oh, I need to eat a reasonable amount of turkey. No, you eat a lot and then you kind of slump on the couch and watch football. Same with eggnog. I know that I'm relaxing. I don't have work for a few days. I want the thick eggnog. And I want a full glass of it, and I want to feel tired afterwards. With the lactaid one, still very good, but the thickness is
just not the same.
It's less.
Yeah.
But it is very... I could see why people would prefer it, for sure.
It was... I loved it. I don't think I can drink the thicker, more viscous, heavier eggnog. It's just not my style.
Yeah. No, I get you. We all have our preferences.
Yeah. Speaking of eggnog, though, do you hear this? That... is some crab rice. Ooh, baby.
I am both.
Save this. I was like telling my mom like 7-8 times, while we were making this, like, Mom, we have to save some. We have to save some. We have to save some. Ryan is going to try it. He does not understand how good this is and why it is the replacement for turkey and should be the replacement for turkey on Thanksgiving or on holiday meals. It's so good.
To provide some context, in our last episode, Miles and I were talking about Thanksgiving foods and what we like and comparing them. And you mentioned crab rice.
Right.
And I have no idea what the heck that is. It sounds bad, but it's sitting right in front of me and it smells really good. So I'm curious to find out if it tastes as good as you're telling me it tastes, and also if it tastes as good as it smells right now.
Right. So Ryan and I were both having kind of a debate about the foods we eat during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Ryan about how our family, and I know Asian families in general, a lot of them don't just do the typical turkey and ham. A lot of them have Asian dishes as well, or Asian infused dishes. And one thing that my family typically does for the last few years now is boiling crab. I don't know,
heard of that?
Yeah, the restaurant, okay. Or they do crab. They do Cajun Vietnamese style crab, where it's Cajun style, where it has all the Cajun, the garlic spices, but then we infuse a little more into it. Some garlic, some soy sauce, some Asian flair that really makes it, enhances it and brings it to another level.
Yeah.
So we ate the crab on Thanksgiving. I wasn't gonna give you a full crab.
Thank you.
It's not gonna be that good.
It'd be scary.
4 days later, and it'd definitely be intimidating. These crabs were huge, dude.
Yeah.
They're like as big as this. With the legs and everything.
That's pretty huge. Big. How big is that for people who can't see your hands?
I would say it's as big as this 32-inch monitor right next to us.
A freaking huge crab.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge crab. It's so good, though.
And the legs are on it and everything?
Yep. That's huge.
Terrifying. The claws?
Claws, everything. Claws are some of the most meat.
Really?
So good. So good. And so the sauce has some crab. My mom makes this amazing sauce that she makes from the crab. It has like leftover crab that she cooked the crab in, all of it, and it's amazing on rice. Everyone typically eats it on rice. So we have it here for you to try. Slowly get you into something a little different.
Yes.
Since you've been all on right. This food like exploration.
Yes, I've been on a quest to culture myself with the rice from abroad. Or the foods from abroad. All right, I have a spoonful of crab rice right now, and I'm going for it. Here we go. Definitely tasting some sea flavors.
Right.
Seafood flavors. Let me get a second bite here.
I mean, for you to even take a second bite means you're digging it.
This is really good. Really, really good. I'm noticing that there's kind of like some sauce at the bottom of it, some like orange
it
sauce.
Is.
What is that?
That orange sauce comes from, it's the oils that we fried it in, the garlic oil.
That's what I'm getting a lot of right now.
Yeah, kind of like the crab essence, the Cajun spice.
Mm-hmm.
That's all like the leftover sauce that we kind of dip and eat with our, it's butter that we eat with our, with the crab. So you eat, you have like a side of sauce with the crab. You get the crab, you dip it, you eat it, and then you eat some of this Cajun rice with it, this crab rice, and it's heaven.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of an aftertaste too, like a little kick. I think that's the Cajun.
Yep, a little spice at the end. Remember it by, you know?
Yes, it's like the spirit of the crab, kind of just like clawing at my stomach lining, just a little hello, and I'm saying thank you to it as I remember it as it goes down. Wow, this crab lived a great life, and I imagine he was very healthy.
He was.
And now that he is mixed into the rice, I do say I love crab rice.
It's very good,
it's
isn't it?
It's really, really good.
It is yours to finish, so if you hear him kind of like munching on during this pod, you know he's eating that crab rice, and it is amazing.
It's delicious. I love it. Thank you, Mama D.
Great restaurant, by the way.
Well, with that, let's go ahead and transition while I'm eating crab rice into recapping the last few games of the Lakers.
Here we go. So while Ryan's enjoying his crab rice, I'll give a little recap of kind of the Lakers, how they've been the last four games now. It's been a little bit since we've recorded. We took a holiday break and we're back. And the Lakers are even playing now against Utah for their fifth game.
True.
So it'll be five games since we've last recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping the Lakers go 4-1. But for the last four games, they've gone 3-1.
Yep.
With the loss against the Mavericks. You called it. I predicted 3-0.
You
predicted 2-1. Mm-hmm. Loss against the Mavs.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually was almost 1-2. They almost lost to the Pelicans,
yeah,
too. But we'll talk about that a little bit more. So Lakers, the last four games, 3-1. Lakers beat the Pelicans, a score of 114 to 110. Beat the Wizards, Lakers at home, 125 to 103.
Spanked them.
Lost to the Mavericks, unfortunately, 114 to 100 at home. And they beat the Nuggets yesterday, last night.
Great win.
Great win. Kept them under 100, 105 to 96.
Yeah.
Especially since the Nuggets are nipping at our heels in second place in the West.
Yeah.
So it was a great win. Any thoughts?
Yeah, off the top, the Nuggets win is easily one of the most impressive wins of Lakers season so far. I think it's up there with the overtime game against Dallas.
Hmm.
Because looking, all right, at the point in time for the Dallas game when we went to OT, I was like, oh, this kind of sucks. We're going to OT against Dallas. Like, we probably should have won. But Dallas is a really, really good team.
Yeah, I think they're third or fourth in the West.
I think so, too. So the fact that we lost by 14 to the Mavs before the Nuggets game, yeah, it sucked. But they're a good team, so hats off to them. The Lakers are still improving. But winning against Denver, who's a very quality team, it means a lot. And it shows that the Lakers, for one, are going to be very hard to beat two nights in a row. And two, that they are one of the top tier teams in the league because they were winning the game pretty much for the duration of the ball game from start to finish. They got close at the end, but the Lakers weren't really in a position where they're ever getting blown out or they had to go on a huge run to get back in the game. They won pretty handily against the Nuggets in Denver, which is a difficult place to play with the altitude and the fans. So off the top, great, great win against Denver. I'm excited to see that the Lakers put together a quality win against a quality team. And that stupid narrative of, oh, the Lakers record is inflated because they're playing crappy teams can start to be go by the wayside. Because I hate that argument. Because if you're a good team, you beat the bad teams. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you have to play 10 bad teams in a row because of the schedule, fine.
You should go 10-0.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're a lesser team because you played 10 bad teams.
Right.
So.
Right. And I'm curious, like, I'd love to have a conversation with those analysts and people that are talking about it. You know, they always compare the Lakers to the Milwaukee Bucks right now, who are, again, tied with the Lakers at 18-3 and are the top team in the East.
They're balling.
But if you look at it, they've also had an easier schedule. They have only played seven teams above 500. The Lakers have also only played seven teams above 500.
Yeah.
So for everyone talking trash on the Lakers, all the haters, all the naysayers, they're just looking for something to talk about.
Yeah.
Like you said, the teams that are supposed to be the best win no matter it's a good opponent or a bad opponent. We see that both in the East and the West.
Yeah.
I also want to say a quick note on the Denver Nuggets. They're the best team defensively. And they hold opponents to 102.3 points a game.
Okay.
And we scored 105. So look at us scoring a little bit more.
Yeah.
They are 20th offensively, though. So it was nice to see kind of the Lakers keep an opponent, especially a top tier team, under 100.
Right.
When we had that huge run and when everyone had no crap to say about the Lakers. It was when we were keeping teams under 100. And to see that again after a huge loss, to see that bounce back and kind of that drive, it speaks a lot about this team and the drive and Bron and AD and their leadership, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And to your point, the Lakers did hold Denver to under 100. Like, the Denver's offense struggled at times.
Big time.
And what stood out to me the most was Jokic.
Yeah, you want to talk about Jokic?
He's struggling, man.
AD, man. Yeah. Defensive player of the year candidate, hands down.
And so much praise goes to AD for his effort. I think he is battling flu-like symptoms, I'm not mistaken, in this
game. Along with his shoulder.
Yeah, so the dude's powering through injuries and powering through adversity. Like, he could have easily taken this game off and said, this is the first of the back-to-back. I'm okay with sitting. But they set that lofty goal for themselves as a team. They don't want to lose a back-to-back game all season, which I love, because there are probably teams who talk about goals like that in the locker room, but wouldn't dare talk about it publicly because you're putting a bullseye on your back to lose back-to-back.
Right.
And they did it, and they're that confident that they can do it. But anyways, AD deserves credit defensively, but Jokic is struggling, man. Like, he is just kind of a shell of himself right now. And I'm still thankful that we're able to beat Denver, but I do think that when we see Denver again, I think later this month, we may see a different team if he starts to get going again, because they're frankly just a better team when he's playing well.
Yeah, but they were the number one seed, I believe, last season, were they not?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're struggling. I mean, or Jokic is struggling. I don't know what he was from the field that last game. I can try and pull it up here.
He only had like 13 points or something?
Yeah, he only had 13, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. And I'm actually going to pull up the box score because I'm very curious now. I just know he struggled. He shot 4 of 12 from the field. Yeah, 4 of 12.
33%.
0 for 2 from 3. He's playing 34 minutes. So he's out there, minus 6.
Assists? What about his assists?
No, he's still getting assists. He had 8 assists.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, just his scoring's not there. Yeah. So they're just kind of like waiting for the pass. Now, I don't know if that's a combination of AD and his struggles, but I definitely agree with what you said. We're going to be facing a different team. I know the Nuggets, they're too good. They'll figure it out. They'll make changes. Mm-hmm. I think another team right now that we see that with is Portland, too, where everyone's kind of like, wow, Portland's doing terrible. But it's only not even a quarter way through the season yet.
Yeah.
And I know all of these teams will make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always see those teams kind of, they stay around 500. And then after the All-Star break, they make a huge push and they make playoff runs. And then they're scary teams.
Right.
Basketball is a game of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll kind of see how that momentum shifts and ebbs and flows throughout the season, especially with the Nuggets and all those teams that we kind of thought we had higher expectations for and have under-delivered.
Yeah, definitely. For any of those last 4 games that we mentioned, is there anything else that stood out to you, MD, that you wanted to touch on?
I'm happy I called out Anthony Davis scoring 40, 41.
You did.
He didn't get as many boards as I thought he would. I'll chalk that up to the hurt shoulder.
Yeah.
That is probably one of my biggest worry, and I think that's something we'll talk about in our next point, our next segment.
Yeah.
Kind of do a little Lakers update.
Mm-hmm.
But not seeing him dive deep, but him able to just kind of get fed the ball by LeBron, force-fed at times, and still go for 41, the most ever scored by a player against their former team in the first game back.
That was cool.
Yeah, I think the most was 39,
and
AD broke it, so that was a cool record to see.
Yeah. And he sealed it with the inbound steal, which is awesome.
Yeah, he really shut that team down. I'm definitely closer than it should have been, though.
It was.
The game was a lot closer than it should have been, especially because they didn't have Lonzo and a few other of their players, but we'll chalk that up. It's still a good win. I mean, it was the last game of their little road trip, so I'm sure fatigue and travel kind of weighed down on them.
And it's an emotional game, too.
Yeah.
New Orleans got up for that game.
And big time.
Played above what they should typically show on a nightly basis. So, games happen.
Right. Wizards game, nothing to talk about. I think they're up by like 30 or 40 at one time.
Yeah.
The biggest lead.
They're killing them.
Like, I turned the game off, I think, midway through the second quarter because I was like, this is trash.
Yeah.
There's no way, you know?
Yeah, I was watching the game on my iPad in bed, and I probably made it to, like, halftime, and I was like, This is boring.
Yeah.
I am a diehard Laker fan, but there's no point staying up and watching this. Like, maybe there's some crazy highlight that happens, like one play out of the many that take place, but I'm just going to go to bed. So they put the beat down on them, and that was good to see.
Definitely good to see. I think coming home, they kind of got up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Mavericks game, I mean, they got out-rebounded. I don't know if it's just like a matchup thing and the Mavericks match up so well against us, having that kind of big and forward combo against us with Porzingis and Doncic, or what happens, but you called it. I mean, that loss was horrendous. I was watching the game maybe through the second and then a little bit of the third, and the Lakers were up at halftime.
Yeah.
By like 4 points, I believe.
Yeah, it was a small lead, but they were in the lead.
Right, and then they just got destroyed in the third quarter. And to me, that's just kind of like, wow, either you guys didn't make adjustments, something didn't happen, but we just got shut down. I mean, that game too, I will definitely say a lot of calls, I feel like, were missed more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of calls
were
definitely missed, especially for having home court. Like, I know there are a few turnovers, but at the end of the day, we let them have too many second chance points. I think they had like 23 second chance points to our 10. And then on top of that, they out-rebounded us. So, I mean, and that goes to saying, how do you get second chance points? You out-rebound the other team, more offensive boards, which is surprising with us having Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard, and JaVale. We don't get out-rebounded often.
Right.
And especially rebounds are just effort plays. So maybe it just the Mavericks had more effort. They wanted to kind of prove themselves or something. But we'll see. I'm definitely excited to see this rivalry continue through the season. I think we play them again this month. Do we not?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if we do or not.
If not, I mean, we have the Clippers game this month. So many games. It'll be exciting to see this kind of new rivalry.
We play them on the 29th.
I knew it.
Of December,
I knew it. Nice. That's going to be an exciting game.
Another Sunday game.
Nice. That'll be exciting. One to watch.
That'd be a phenomenal playoff series if that happens, like a second round matchup or something like that.
You never know. Want to call it? Second round matchup against the Mavericks?
No, not yet. I'm not going to call it yet. But I could see it happening, but I'm kind of still paying attention to seeing whether or not I think they could be a top three seed, to be honest. I think
that's what I'm saying.
I think Dallas is that good.
Second round matchup.
Yeah.
I mean, because the one, I'm saying the Lakers top, and then after the 1-8, it's the, oh no, they play the fourth. Just kidding. They play the fourth seed. But you never know, because they're the fourth seed right now. With Denver, how they're playing. I definitely feel like you can switch up Mavericks and Nuggets. Like, they'll interchange throughout the season. I think Clippers will stay at two, especially now with Kawhi and PG back. But
so Lakers, Clippers, three could be interchangeable between
Nuggets.
What about Houston?
Mavericks. I love Houston, but the James Harden show has proven time and time again to not work.
Yeah, in the playoffs, but in the regular season,
right.
Could you still see them being top three?
And the D'Antoni offense? No, I can't. The D'Antoni offense is great, but again, Houston is all offense and no defense.
Yeah.
And defense wins championships. And they are set up to match up against a shooting and running team, right? And the shooting and running team, the Warriors, are last in the league right now, or last in the Western Conference at least.
Right.
So when they face these bigger teams that like to play at a slower pace, like that's why they're fifth seed, sixth seed right now, because you see Denver plays at a slower pace. Clippers play at a slower pace with Kawhi and PG. Kawhi likes this slow, steady pace, you know? Dallas plays at a slower pace. They're not an up team, you know, up and down team.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you're seeing the league kind of shift back to this slower, more methodical game where the three is more of a highlight now than it used to be, but now it's still just become a facet of the game, no longer the main point of the game.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see if they can make anything change. But I mean, Harden's going off for 50 a game. And when you're scoring 50 a game and you're still like fifth, sixth seed, I'm not going to pay attention to you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we saw Kobe score 50-60 in a game, but that was to stay in the top four seeds, you know, and as the Lakers. Stay in the top one or two. That's fine to me. That's MVP worthy to me, because you need that to stay at the top, to be one of the best. But you score 50 and you lose, like...
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Giannis scores 50. Jimmy Butler will have these games that go off, but you're still kind of losing. Bradley Beal had like a 40-point game the other day.
Right.
But it's on the Wizards.
Right. And that's... And Kobe for sure scored a crazy ton of points, had crazy point games on losing teams a lot. Like, especially like that 05-06 season.
Right.
He scored 62 and three quarters against the Mavs, then dropped 81 on the Raps a few months later. I think they won both of those games, but that was a losing season. Like,
right.
I think it was one of like their losingest seasons in history. So it's possible to be scoring really well and be on a losing team. But these, comparing the Lakers with Kobe back then to Harden with the Rockets right now is different, because the Rockets actually have legitimate expectations to, they can make a legit playoff run. And if all he's concerned about is just scoring, getting stats, and not about the actual win, then it's like, okay, those points are kind of for nothing. Like, who cares if you score 60? Who cares if you score 50, you know, 10 times in a season? If your team isn't winning and if they're not getting ready and improving for the postseason, then who cares? Like, it'd be better if you just scored 20 or 30, you know?
Right.
But I'm... All that to say, I'm of the belief that Houston is ultimately going to be like a 4 or 5 seed. I don't...
Really?
Yeah.
Where are they right now?
They're 5. Six, they're five? 5 right now. Uh-huh. My prediction... I will predict this. I'm predicting that Dallas will have a better record than Houston this year. And maybe that happens. Maybe it doesn't. But my mindset is shifting on the Houston... playbook. Like, right. I don't think that the recipe for success they've been having in previous years is going to hold up. I think teams are going to start to realize that if you force James Harden into enough inefficient shots, he'll still make a lot of them, but if he misses more often than not, like, you can still win those games when he's dropping 60.
Right.
Who cares? Like, let someone else beat you. And right now, I mean, Houston's playing okay. They've won 6 of their last 10, they're 13-7, but in the West, where you're going, when you're seeing teams like the Lakers, Clippers, Denver, and Dallas, like, I don't think that that's going to hold up all season long, but we'll see.
We shall see. Exciting times. Moving on to our next segment. Since we're kind of coming back from the holiday break, we're changing it up and having, instead of 3 keys, just 2 segments today. We'll do a Lakers update, talk a little Lakers, what we feel about the last 4 games, predictions. We talked about it a little bit in this recap. And then for the second segment, we'll do an around the league. And we've already talked about it a little bit Western Conference. There's more to talk about. And then we'll a little close with our traditional point 4. So let's get to it.
Yep. All right, MD. So let's talk about some of the role players for the Lakers, because we've already talked about recapping their games and whatnot, but the role players for the Lakers have been on this up and down journey throughout the season so far. It's early, but it's driving me crazy, man. Like, some of these players, I feel like I can ride with them. They're going to be steady and we're going to have a great flourishing relationship. And then other times I'm like, yo, this person needs to get their act together, because one game they're great and the next game they suck. KCP, for example, like, we're just bashing him like terribly in the beginning. And we're like, you know what? He's doing all right now. Let's pump the brakes. But now he's kind of going back to not being as great anymore. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, should we be concerned, I guess, is the question, with the role players for the Lakers?
We definitely should be. I think in our previous kind of recap, you just touched on James Harden scoring 50, 60 points and having the other team beat you. Thankfully, we have 2 All-Stars, so it's a little harder to let LeBron and AD go off and still try and win. But there are definitely going to be days. Mavericks game, I think, is a perfect example that we brought up in the recap.
Where very it's good like, example.
Fine, we'll let LeBron go off and we'll let AD go off and get their 20, 25, 30 points and let LeBron get his, you know, almost triple-double and let AD hit double-digit rebounds. But it's not going to matter because basketball at the end of the day is a team game.
Right.
And yeah, okay, Doncic will have a solid game, scored 20, 30 to match up against Bron. We can see the kind of matchup there, even those things out. Porzingis can have a decent game, match up with AD. Although he only had like 19 points, I think. He didn't have that great of a game.
15.
But Dwight Powell beat us up. Deron White, right, or the other guy they have, like, beat us up. Like, it's like, how are these... Tim Hardaway, like, how are these guys destroying us, you know?
Right.
They're just going off. Jay Jackson. I don't even know his first name. 15 points. Jalen.
Wait. No, that's not him.
That's not him. Not Brunson.
Clicked on the wrong guy. Ugh, clicking on Brunson.
Justin Jackson. He went off for 15 points against us, you know?
Yeah.
But that's expected, right? Mm-hmm. We're expected for these great teams, these role players to even step up. Mm-hmm. They're in LA, they're in La La Land. They're supposed to play better.
Right. For me, like you said, it's concerning that we can only rely upon AD and Bron to consistently do work offensively for us. And apart from them, it's just like a game of roulette. Like, okay, who's going to step up this game? Like, maybe it's Caruso, maybe it's Kuzma, maybe it's KCP, maybe Danny Green gets hot from three. But there's not consistency where someone's just regularly scoring 10 points a night or regularly scoring 15 points a night. Like, it kind of stresses me out, frankly, to watch a game and be in a close game and be like, okay, who's going to step up? Like, you know LeBron's going to be their AD, but when they're subbed out, like, they're not on the court for 48 minutes straight. Like, there has to be role players that we can rely upon to carry the load for those minutes that our star players are out. And that's why we lost this game in Dallas. Like, yes, Doncic was incredible and he's an amazing player. But Alex Caruso, frankly, cannot be our third leading scorer in a game with 10.
I know.
With 10.
He's a great role player and does everything else, but he's not a scorer. Mm-mm. We know that. And he doesn't want to score, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he loves his putback dunks and being this internet meme. But other than that, he's not going to give you 15 points a game. And that's not his role, either. Mm-hmm. He's that defensive pest, the one that does all the hustle plays. So it's like, it has to be Rondo, it has to be Kuzma, it has to be Danny Green, mm-hmm. KCP. We have multiple weapons, or Troy Daniels, but all of them are coming up short.
Right.
And so I definitely agree with you. It's becoming frustrating. It's also becoming frustrating with Frank, I feel like. I mean, I just sent you that coach of the month, right? Frank Vogel, 14-1.
Yeah.
Awesome. But to me, it's kind of like you're force feeding. One of the big things for me, and we've had this discussion, is why is Quinn Cook not playing as much? Obviously, Troy Daniels isn't doing it for us. Mm-hmm. Why is he not changing it up with tossing in Quinn Cook?
Yeah.
You get the same thing out of them. Mm-hmm. A three-point shooter plays okay defense, but I feel like Quinn Cook is a little better. I'm not sure what's going on there. And he's also a ball handler. He can bring the ball down.
Right.
So I'm not sure what's going on there. Like, why Quinn Cook has just kind of been shuffled to the back, a guy that has championship caliber.
Yeah.
You know, blood in him.
Right. Yeah, in that game against Dallas, he played 3 minutes.
Which was garbage time.
3 minutes.
With Jared Dudley. He has the same amount of time as Jared Dudley.
Exactly.
So you're telling me Frank values Quinn Cook as much as he values Jared Dudley on the team. Jared Dudley is a great locker room guy. Is that just what Quinn Cook is then? Why do we even pick him up? He's supposed to be a shooter. And instead, he's force-feeding Troy Daniels, who has repeatedly let us down. And so now it's like, this is what I'm feeling. Do we need to change up the lineup? I feel like, is Frank going to make some changes on the lineup, especially the second team? Is Avery Bradley that much of an impact, you know? Are we missing him that much? Which is another debate, too.
Yeah.
And I feel like we are, specifically defensively. Yeah. Ever since he's been out, teams have been easily scoring over 100 points a game. Over 105.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought him up, because I actually completely forgot that Avery Bradley had gone out. Like, it sounds bad to say it, but like, yeah, I forgot that we were missing him.
Right.
And he is a very, very critical part of our team because of what he brings defensively.
Right.
He brings the mentality that he's going to play the full length of the court on both sides. And he can give it to you offensively too. I really hope he comes back soon. I think the last update was that he was going to be reevaluated. Like, what was it, last week or this week?
They're saying he might come back at late December or something.
Yeah,
we'll see. But we're definitely missing that kind of defensive pester, that Saša Vujačić that run our test, that kind of came in and set the tone defensively for our team, especially around the perimeter.
Right. Defense is huge, and it's really the Lakers' identity right now.
Right.
But it doesn't give us a pass for being below average on offense. Like,
right.
With the personnel that we have, we're going to win more games than not with an above average defense and just an average offense, just relying upon our stars. But we don't want to have just a great regular season. We want to make a legit title push. And for that to happen, we need to be above average at both offensively and defensively, because we're going to run into legit teams who are above average at both, and we're not going to be able to hang with them if that's not the case. And Dallas, the game against Dallas highlighted that. And to be honest, I'm kind of happy we got spanked at Staples Center in front of our home crowd,
right?
Because it just shows, like, yeah, we're still a work in progress. I think the team knows that, but I do hope that Frank and the rest of the team just kind of takes inventory of what can be done differently so that, you know, we don't run into that problem consistently throughout the season.
Right.
So
where we have a good 20 games and slump again.
Yeah.
I mean, most teams would be amazed, would like love to have the 20 game stretch the Lakers have had, but you know, we want to be the best, and to be the best, we always have to push ourselves.
Yeah.
I feel like I love the saying. It's, you know the saying, practice makes perfect?
Mm-hmm.
It's never practice makes perfect. It's perfect practice makes perfect.
Mm.
And that's what we need to push with the Lakers. They need to be perfect in practice and make all those adjustments to become perfect when they play.
Yeah.
So always trying to strive even when no one's watching.
Right. And this month of December is
crucial.
Yeah. And it's fine. Make mistakes, and let's... I'm even fine if we lose games, you know, like, but if it means that we're going to have more of those perfect practice moments where those losses highlight something that we need to work on, and then we work on it effectively and we become a better team because of it, then great. But I'm actually thankful that the Lakers have the toughest schedule in the month of December, and it's early in the season rather than it coming in like March. And realizing, like, oh, wow, we have a lot of glaring problems we should fix.
It's perfect. We can, LeBron and the clutch management team will realize they need to make trades sooner rather than later. So we can trade away Troy Daniels and all these other, you know, losers, you know, for some quality players to get CP3 or Iggy on this squad, you know?
We'll see. All right, well... With that, let's go ahead and transition into our second and, for today, final key, and just talk about what's going on around the league.
So now that you're done with that crab rice, you're ready to talk around the league?
I am. My belly is full and my mind is full. I didn't know where I was going with that.
Mind is sharp.
Mind is...
I don't know. I don't know where you're going with that.
Me neither.
Yeah, it's the crab.
It's the crab. Blame it on the crab.
Yeah.
Great crab.
So I know we touched on it when we were talking recap, but kind of talking about other teams around the league, Milwaukee, Harden, the Raptors, Doncic.
The donk.
The donk. Kind of who... I think we should start this out with, who do you think will be the Lakers' biggest challenge in the Western Conference and in the Eastern Conference? So who do you think will be the biggest challenge that we'll face in the playoffs in the West? And then who do you think is going to come out of the East for us to play in the finals?
For the West, it's got to be the Clips. Crosstown rivals, the two traders, PG and Kawhi. There's no way around it. They're a great team, man. Like, they have They have a solid starting cast, obviously, with Kawhi and PG. But their bench is... It's a starting unit on pretty much any other team in the league.
Yeah,
with Lou Will, Montrez. Like, those guys are crazy, man.
Which is why I think in our previous point, we emphasized that second unit and those role players so much. It's not... The Clippers aren't good because of Kawhi. The Clippers are good because of Kawhi and PG. They're great because they have Lou and Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
That come off the bench and score 30 plus points easy, just them two alone,
mm-hmm.
and finish the game.
Yeah.
That's why they're great. They're just good because of Kawhi and PG. And that's what the Lakers need. The Lakers are so good right now. Super good, I would say. But we definitely need to be great by having that kind of extra team or those extra players step up. And we'll see who that is.
Right, for sure. In the playoffs, your bench becomes a much larger factor.
Right.
The minutes of the starters go up because there's not... Like, you're not managing, like, minutes as tightly because you just want your best team out there as long as possible. You're not thinking about an 82-game season anymore. But in the playoffs, we see this time and time again. There are role players who step up and really help create momentum for those championship runs. We saw, like, in Dallas when they dethroned the Miami Heat, or when they, you know, beat the Miami Heat when they were favored. JJ Barea was huge.
Yeah.
And like the guy kind of came out of nowhere and everyone's like, okay, like, wow, that guy's, you know, really good.
Yeah.
And kind of the same thing for the Lakers. Like, you want to go into the postseason against a team like the Clippers, who I think are going to be our toughest opponent in the West. And you want to be able to have role players that are going to be able to step up and kind of create that momentum for us. So that's who it is for me in the West. Would you agree with that? Or do you have someone else?
For me in the West, I'm going to say the Lakers' biggest challenge, not the best team or the second best team in the West,
mm-hmm.
but the Lakers' biggest challenge, and we've seen it already,
mm-hmm.
the Mavericks. Hands down, the Mavericks.
Really?
Rick Carlisle is an amazing coach.
Yeah.
Super good coach.
He is.
On top of that, they match up so well against us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had to go into overtime. Before we won that game, we were hanging by a thread. And when thankfully, the Mavericks made mistakes. Otherwise, we should be 0-2 versus the Mavericks so far. I mean, 0-1 versus the Clippers, we can blame that to us finding ourselves, figuring out the system, which I blame it to, because we weren't having a good game. We weren't where we were defensively or offensively yet.
Yeah.
Just kind of force-feeding everything through LeBron and AD
right.
for the opener.
Right.
But the Mavericks have faced us, quote unquote, as we've evolved, right? We've reached level 16 as a Pokemon. We've evolved. We've went from a Bulbasaur to an Ivysaur, and we're kind of stronger now.
We know Vine Whip.
Yeah, we know Vine Whip, or we're whatchamacallit, a War Turtle now. Or
Charmeleon.
Charmeleon, yes. Mm-hmm. Charmeleon now.
Mm-hmm.
And we still got our butts whooped.
Yeah.
And not even just whooped, we got our butts whooped and then handed to us by the Mavericks.
Yes.
You know, we are a better team than we were when we beat them,
mm-hmm.
and they came back and they beat us. So
yeah.
That means they're much better than us. Especially, it'd be different if it was a closer game, but getting 14-point deficit, and it should have been more. It was 21 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Then we put in our garbage players, and they kind of lowered it by a few points.
Mm-hmm.
We basically got beat by them. Starters, our second unit, matchup by 20 points.
Yeah.
That to me isn't just like a off day or a significant change,
mm-hmm.
or I mean a small change. It's a significant change that needs to be made, or a game plan that needs to be implemented,
mm-hmm.
a large adjustment on our end to definitely lower that gap. That's 20 points.
Yeah.
And that was terrible. That was a terrible game.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be known defensively as one of the better teams.
Right.
And we let them score 114.
On our home court too.
Yeah, at home.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I definitely feel like it's... And if you think about it, Porzingis only had 15. Like, Porzingis is just coming back.
Yeah.
Doncic is on fire, having an amazing game.
Mm-hmm.
This is Porzingis' first year back again after that injury.
It's true.
That terrible injury.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to get better and better playing alongside Doncic. Doncic is going to find him more and more. Remember, he used to be 30 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks in New York. Yeah. There's no reason he can't do that again.
Back when he was the unicorn.
Right, right. There's no reason he won't be doing that in February or March. So it'll be a good matchup for us. So it'll really come down to the role players, and I'm excited to see that.
Right. Okay. So you think Dallas will be the toughest in the West for us?
Right. I definitely feel like with the Clippers, we're such a different team now, where I don't think it's going to be as close. I think it's going to be closer than it was last game, mm-hmm. but I think we'll win by 5-6 points if we play them again, especially on Christmas.
Ooh, I cannot wait for that.
Defensively, we kind of know who to stop. You stop PG and Kawhi, you know, then let Lou and Montrezl Harrell try and beat us, and those two can't beat us by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely feel like we've changed and adapted as a team.
Yeah.
And we'll see kind of where they are.
Yeah. It's obviously easier said than done to just stop Kawhi and PG.
Oh, yeah.
But I agree. We're a different team than we were during that first game. I mean, because if you think about it, the Clippers' continuity is significantly higher right now than ours.
Right.
And it was higher because they...
Because of that first game. And it's not the stars that beat us. It wasn't Kawhi that beat us in the first game. It was the bench that have been together for like 2-3 years now.
Yeah.
So
exactly. So they've been playing with each other. Like right. we're rolling in with a new coach, pretty much a whole new team, new system, and it's taking time. And we're seeing that this season, even though we're winning, like it takes time to gel. And that first game was it's tough to come out and play at then the Vegas title favorites and have that as our first game. So yeah, it'll be a much, much closer game. I hope so much the Lakers win that game because my Christmas will be so much better. But we'll see. It'll be tough. All right. How about in the East for you? Who do you think the Lakers' toughest matchup is?
I want to say the Raptors because we got spanked by them. But I'm actually going to go Milwaukee. Because
hot right now.
Not only are they hot right now, I'm excited to see them play. But Giannis is actually hitting threes now.
That's scary.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
I think the last game that he played, he was like 3-for-4 from 3-point range. It's like, what are you going to do now?
Yeah.
Like, you used to just be like, all right, give him space, let him drive, you know?
Right.
We'll kind of just, I mean, we were set having three bigs ready to match up against him. But now that there's freaking, he can make threes, we have to actually guard him. Like, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, we have AD who can hopefully stop him, but they also have great shooters. They've really surrounded him with a team that would still be pretty good on its own without Giannis.
Yeah.
With Chris Middleton, who's a great shooter. What's his face? Their point guard, who's really good.
Bledsoe.
Remember when he was on the Clippers? He was so good. Great defensively, still athletic.
Wesley Matthews,
who can shoot. Having a better year than last year. You know, they're set.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to really argue against that, especially right now in the season when they're playing as well as they are.
And right now, they have the second best defensive rating and the second best offensive rating. And the biggest point differential in the league.
Wow.
So you can't, like, what are we going to... I'm like, what do we do around that?
Yeah. Know? That'll be a great... I think that game comes in like January or February for us when we play Milwaukee.
That'll be exciting.
But that's a good test for the Lakers too. When you have a team who's playing well on both sides of the ball, how do the Lakers find an advantage to somehow win that game still? Because they're either going to have to turn it up higher than normal offensively or defensively. And I think they're more than capable of doing it defensively. But against a team that's great defensively as well, we're going to have to be having our role player step up like we mentioned earlier. Right now, not the case. Hopefully by the time we play them, it is the case. But yeah, Milwaukee's a good call. For me, man.
Celtics?
No, forget the Celtics. Milwaukee for me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're, for the exact reason that you mentioned, being in the top three in both offense and defense, the Greek freak is a freak. Like, yeah, the guy's hitting threes now. That's terrifying. His last game against Detroit, he was 4-for-8 from three. He hit 50% of his threes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what can you do now to stop him?
Right. And 8 3-point attempts. It's not like he's taking two and made one. Like, he's going out of his way to take threes.
Right. If you're giving him the three, he's not scared to take it anymore.
Right. So his 3-point percentage is climbing. He's not lethal by any means, but he can shoot it. So,
right.
Yeah, that's a tough matchup any day for any team. So I'll take Milwaukee on the toughest. With that, anything else you want to touch on around the league before we...
I don't think so. I think we've kind of hit everything. We talked Doncic, we talked Harden, we talked Milwaukee. Any other team out of the East you think the Lakers have an issue with? Anything out of the East? I know we're so Western focused because we're out here in the West and we hear about the Lakers playing Western teams all the time.
Yeah. The teams I'm most concerned about are Milwaukee, Philly, and Boston.
Right.
Probably in that order. I think Philly has been underperforming. They're going to come up again.
Right. We'll see. I mean, after all that trash that everyone's talked to Embiid after he had that zero, that egg game.
Yeah. He stepped up after that game, though.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been playing well.
We'll see. Well, we'll see if he can even stay healthy for a season first to even play. He might be injured by the time playoffs come and then blame it on the playoffs, per usual for that squad, right?
Yeah.
Ben Simmons can only do so much. Tobias Harris is the same position as Embiid, and it's not meshing well. So I'm curious what they'll do. You know what would be cool? A little kind of homecoming for Iggy on that team. He would be a great asset to that Philly team because they need a wing defender, have that leadership, that championship caliber, and he doesn't need the ball. He moves well without the ball. So Ben Simmons can still take care of the ball, and he does all those small things.
Right. That would be interesting. I mean, they could use him. They could really use him.
I think they're definitely missing JJ Redick too.
Yeah,
they're missing shooting, that guy that kind of draws that one defender out to open up the floor a little bit.
Yeah.
Because now you have Ben Simmons. He finally hit a three. Yay.
He did.
But it was when he was wide open, he had to chuck it. Like, they're not... Who do they have as their starting lineup right now?
It's Simmons, Korkmaz, Embiid, Horford, Harris.
Oh, no wonder Harris is having a terrible year. You have Horford now, too. Like, what's the expectation there to have those three along with Simmons, who's a point guard, but doesn't really hit any outside shots and just crowds the lane?
Right. Yeah, it's on paper, you just go down the list and kind of just like NBA 2K status. You're like, okay, there's a lot of great players on this team. But when you're trying to get a roster to mesh well together, it kind of doesn't make sense. Maybe it works later in the season, but like you said, Horford and Tobias on the same team kind of seems like they're like cannibalizing their efficiency, you know?
So. Yeah.
I don't know. I ultimately think they do end up finishing in the second seed, right behind Milwaukee. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right. Well, with that, let's...
close it up with some point four.
Stole the words out of my mouth.
Excuse me, before point four, we have to do our predictions for this next week.
Ooh, yeah.
So the Lakers are playing the Jazz right now. It's 68-55. We can kind of put that in the bag. But the next three games are Trailblazers.
Mellow.
Away. Timberwolves at home and Magic. And they travel to Orlando to play the Magic. What's your prediction for the Lakers?
All right, sir. Let me put on my prediction cap. I'm going to say the Lakers go... Wait, we're going up until Miami or Orlando? Orlando. So next three?
Yes, the next three.
Blazers, they win a close one.
Okay.
I'm going to say. Melo is going to have a good game in that one, I say. His BFF, LeBron, is playing him.
He's going to let him shoot.
LeBron's going to let him shoot. Yeah. I think Melo has a good game. Lakers win that one. It's a close one. T-Wolves, We win. Magic, we smash. 3-0.
I think I will agree with you there.
All
right. This is the easier part of our road trip, right? None of these teams, I believe, are above 500. I think the T-Wolves, excuse me, are above 500, but we have them at home. We have a little rest. We finally come back from that little road trip. So I think the Lakers will be fine against them. And other than Kat, which I think AD is better than Kat.
For sure. Not even a question.
Yeah, we should be able to stomp them.
Yeah. The Magic game is going to kick off the road trip. I think that's the first of
Hawks.
First of Pacers. A five-game road trip.
Wow, we play the Bucks on the 19th. That'll be a good game for us.
Oh, shoot. I didn't realize we played them that early.
Yeah. Oh. And then we play the Nuggets again on the 22nd. And then Christmas.
Wow.
This is an exciting upcoming few seasons.
It's scary and exciting at the same time.
Right. We'll definitely have to watch those together.
Yep.
All right, so both 3-0.
Yep, book it.
Sweet. All right, you ready to do some point four?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, point four segment. We'll start off with some holiday food items now that we've both tried them.
Yes.
So, I'm not saying would you... Okay, I'll say it. For Thanksgiving or for holiday, turkey or crab?
Like as the main part of the meal?
No, just to be part of the meal to eat.
All right, yeah, sure.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Crab. Turkey.
Still turkey?
Still turkey.
After all of that?
Yeah, okay, crab is
great. Tell me turkey is more flavorful than the crab rice you just had.
I cannot say that. That'd be a lie.
Exactly.
However, I consider myself to be a traditionalist. And
to
just kick the turkey to the curb this quickly would be disrespectful for all the years it has done well to me.
You know what our first t-shirts are going to be for this podcast? It's going to be Save the Turkeys.
Save the Turkeys.
That's what it's going to be. Eat more crab, save the turkeys. That will be our first t-shirt.
It's like the Chick-fil-A campaign.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Chick-fil-A. Sponsor us.
All right. Here's the next one. I'll do this one for us. Hot chocolate or... your newly discovered love for eggnog. Give us a second to think about it. Mainly myself. All right. 1, 2, 3.
Hot chocolate. Yeah. Eggnog's great.
It is.
But it's not no hot chocolate.
Yeah.
I can't put whipped cream on it or marshmallows or, you know.
You could, but...
salted whipped cream.
Yeah. You're right.
It's not as good.
No, it doesn't go together.
Right. Especially because it's cold now. You don't want another cold drink, right?
Yeah.
After a meal, too, you don't want to drink something heavy.
True.
Drink something kind of rich, but still warm to kind of help you digest.
Yeah.
Nothing beats... You don't like, oh, I'm going to have some eggnog by the fire. It's hot chocolate by the fire.
Very true. Eggnog is what you drink when you realize you're already fat and you've already eaten too much and you might as well just have the eggnog too.
Right, right.
Like, but hot chocolate, it's kind of a little classy still. It's again, traditional, you know, it's mm-hmm. you carry your cocoa while you're walking around seeing Christmas lights. So yeah, hot chocolate.
Cool.
Me too.
All right, next. The Office or Parks and Recreation?
Oh!
This is a great one. This is a great one.
Right. I love the characters in both of these.
You ready?
Yep.
Decided?
I have decided.
3, 2, 1. Parks and Rec.
Ooh! Yeah. All right, do tell. Why do you choose Parks and Rec?
I love The Office. And there is, like, the character development there has been great. But to me, Parks and Rec is so different. And they talked about like topics that are so, they weren't scared to me to talk about some topics that were kind of controversial at the time, which made it to me even more funny. You know, just hilarious about the stuff they talk. I mean, Andy Dwyer. Like, I can't name someone more funny than Andy Dwyer.
He's hilarious.
On The Office. Like, just, and he was trying to be funny, do you know what I mean? He was a funny character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that. You know, Dwight was hilarious, but that's who Dwight's character was. He was that serious guy.
Yeah.
We laughed at him because of who he was.
Yeah.
And the way he acted. Jim was hilarious. The pranks were hilarious, but I don't know. There's just something about Parks and Recs that you can't beat.
You can't beat.
And I love The Office, but as soon as Michael went away and they kind of continued, it wasn't the same.
100%
I think that's
agree.
What lost it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Parks and Recs, once people started like leaving and it was kind of done, they're like, okay, we'll wrap it all up. We're not going to try and continue this with all these other characters. Also, I never cringed once in Parks and Rec. I was laughing. In The Office, oh my goodness. I saw a clip of the,
I feel like I know
Michael,
what you're going to say.
What is it?
When he promises tuition to the kids?
No, that was so bad.
Ooh,
too.
That's the most cringeworthy Scott's toss.
that was very cringeworthy. To me, it was cringeworthy. Also, the dinner party at his house.
Yeah.
He like, oh, what are you doing? Like that entire, and that to me, that was more cringeworthy because there was an entire episode. Like it was just so disgusting. He's like standing and watching this TV. Like this is my TV time. This is Jan's art time. The video camera set up in their room so she can like critique him.
Yeah,
like it was just
he points
like,
out how he curls up on the little sofa at the bed.
Cause Jan has the entire bed. Like it was just like, oh man. And then having like I could imagine having what's her name? Leslie as my boss. She'd be an amazing boss.
Yeah.
Right? But Michael Scott as my boss, I would kill myself. Like, he is ridiculous sometimes.
He is.
He's just so annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I choose The Office over Parks and Rec, because it's so, like, it's so obviously fictional that it's an escape for me when I'm watching it, because it's just, it's so ridiculous. It's so crazy. The things that Michael does, the things that Dwight does, and the pranks in The Office. Like if you were to do like two of the pranks that Jim does to Dwight, I mean, you'd be written up and probably in a lawsuit, especially in California.
Yeah.
But like when you're watching it, you're just like, this is hilarious. And so I like to just have it on the background. It's just like this family that, they're like an extension of my family. I feel like I just identify with them and I'm just like observing them from afar.
It's so hilarious.
I don't know. I
just have all these scenes like running through my head right now.
Yeah.
Dwight, when he got pranked that his desk was wrapped as well. And he sits and falls.
Yeah.
Everything jello'd. When they mess with him and they eat the meatballs, him and Stanley actually want the meatballs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. That's
so great.
The triangle episode where they make the triangle instead of the iPad, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I forget what
it's
called. That was hilarious.
That was a post-Michael.
Yeah, that was a post-Michael. But then Parks and Recs, too. Like, all the businesses Aziz Ansari's, like, character started.
Yeah.
Were hilarious. Freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
Andy was just...
I love him. Little Sebastian.
Yeah, Little Sebastian.
Bye, Little Sebastian.
Oh, that was so sad. I think there were so many guest appearances, though, too, on Parks and Rec for, like, big names that they got.
Remember Roy Hibbert was in an episode?
Yeah, because Indiana.
Yep.
That was amazing. Oh, man.
Good show. All right, last one. How about another TV show for us? Friends or How I Met Your Mother? I kind of slurred. Let me say that again. Friends or How I Met Your Mother. I said mother.
Mother.
It's the crab. All right. One, two, three.
Friends. How I Met Your Mother.
I knew you were going to say it.
Yeah.
I actually never finished How I Met Your Mother.
The ending is disappointing. But I feel like after a while, Friends, it's just not funny anymore.
Really? Yeah. I haven't gotten to that point yet.
I mean, it's hilarious, but it never has made me laugh like The Office or Parks and Rec have.
Ooh.
Has Friends made you laugh that much? You know?
Yeah. It
really?
It has. It tickles me in a different way. It's like a different ticklish spot.
True.
Like, Office is like my armpit. And Parks and Rec is like my foot. And Friends is like my belly.
Your belly is ticklish?
It is. If you're using the right, like, thing.
Touch. Gross. Keep it in the bedroom, Ryan. Keep it in the bedroom.
I just thought we were.
I'm sorry, Wendy.
Have a close moment. I could confide.
Okay, I could see that. I guess, like, yeah.
You don't have to force yourself to see it my way.
No, Friends is still funny. I'm not saying it's not funny. Yeah. For sure, I definitely have laughed. Not the way I've laughed at The Office, Parks and Recs, and How I Met Your Mother. I think what's so sticks with me the most with How I Met Your Mother is one of the first series that I finished completely.
Mm.
And also, on top of that, it was... it brings, like, although it did a great job of having this ongoing storyline along with having individual episodes.
Yeah.
That was so involved and always developed and ongoing jokes from like season one that were still in season eight, you know, that I loved and fell in love with that I don't feel like The Office, Parks and Recs, or even Friends had, you know?
Yeah.
Like Friends, one of the biggest ones was Ross and Rachel, get together, break up, and it's kind of like, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely feel like there wasn't as much, I mean, there were developments, but not as much character development and depth that you saw, like...
Plot, I think plot development is what you described.
Exactly, compared to How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, Barney, you know? Mm-hmm. Barney, his character, he develops so much through the season.
Yeah, he does. I didn't make it through the whole thing, but I remember towards the end... Spoiler alert for those who haven't listened to it or watched it, so pause here or end here. But he like matures towards the end, right?
Right.
And he like realizes that he has like he can have genuine feelings towards someone and love someone,
right?
And want to follow through and be committed. Where before he was just like reckless and partying and you know just hooking up,
right?
So I do remember that. But like The Office and Parks and Rec, all their episodes are kind of like. Made to be standalone.
Yeah,
like,
they can be standalone.
Watch it, and you don't need to have any context, really.
There are minor ongoing long plots, but that's not the main plot. You know? Yeah. It's just they're made to be standalone. I feel like Friends is more that way as well.
True. Right? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, Office, Parks and Rec, and Friends, I think, are all like that.
Right.
Where How I Met Your Mother is, like, a very well thought out plot with unique characters, too. Like,
right.
It's a little more calculated.
Or I feel like you will understand things better if you watch it like a whole season again. You'll be like, oh shoot, it's even more funny now.
Yeah.
And I feel like I get that with The Office, with Parks and Recs, and How I Met Your Mother. I don't get that with Friends.
Yeah, for sure.
And T and I have been kind of just putting in the background as we like clean or do chores and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I'll laugh every once in a while, and you know, but it's not just like that funny to me.
Yeah, you can see that.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, there's a lot of good shows out there. I would I'd say you can watch any of those and... You'll probably laugh.
Yeah, have a good time.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. Well, with that, that'll do it for this episode of the Three in the Key podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Be sure to subscribe wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc., etc. Give us a 5-star rating. We would greatly appreciate it. And if you haven't already, follow us on IG at Three in the Key Pod. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Hope you start those weight loss goals like we are.
Eat more crab.